welcome to another edition of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Matt Maiocco.
All right, this is 49ers Talk, brought to you by Big O Tires. I'm Matt Maiocco with Carlos Ramirez. Jennifer Lee Chan will be joining us a little bit later in the show. But the 49ers, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't spectacular. It wasn't high-flying acrobatics. It wasn't a big light show. It was a 22-16 victory over the Los Angeles Chargers, Carlos. And that is something the 49ers are just fine with.
Yeah, maybe there was some rust for the bye week or after bye week, Matt. It's something we discuss on the postgame show. Even with George Kittle and Aziz Al-Jaire, maybe some expectations by people just because of the health of the 49ers coming back from bye week. A bit of rust. In the end, they were able to make adjustments, and we're seeing a team that's confident that they can have mistakes or not be in their A game in one half of the football game and then come back after the break and just flip a switch, both on defense and offense, and make a change, make something tangible that you can see on the scoreboard. It happened again. We saw what happened in Levi South, a.k.a. SoFi Stadium. They shut down the Rams in the second half. It happened again on Sunday against the Chargers.
Yeah, the 49ers, they win the State of California trophy this year.
Yeah.
3-0 against the L.A. teams, the only other teams, of course, in California. And, you know, I made this point on the pregame show, Carlos, and I just feel like right now people are getting ahead of themselves, and we're guilty of this too, in that we're just anointing this 49ers offense as a great offense, and it's all these playmakers, and oh, this is a potent offense. Right now, it's more potential than it is potent.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. I think health is one thing fans rely on because we want to see this team. I'm talking as a fan of the 49ers, talking how the fans would talk. We want to see the team bloom. We want to see what the offense can do. We want to see the genius of what Kyle Shanahan did in 2016 with the Falcons, now with the 49ers. The reality is maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is playing the best football of his career, but the other pieces have to come together because they've never played together. McCaffrey with Mitchell being healthy and with Deebo being healthy and with Trent Williams being healthy, all that. I think the best version of this offense, Matt, is one where everyone chips in and no one has to carry the team on its back. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at, I mean, did you think that Elijah Mitchell was going to be the leading rusher for the 49ers? 18 carries, 89 yards. I didn't.
No.
He had more than twice as many yards rushing as Christian McCaffrey. Did you think that George Kittle would only be targeted twice and only catch one pass for 21 yards?
That would be a no again.
Yes. And did you think that, I mean, this is less of a stretch, but that Brandon Ayuk would have 84 yards receiving and Deebo Samuel would have 24 yards receiving?
That's a double no.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess what they're showing is they're able to take whatever the defense gives them. And they did outgain the Chargers by a lot of yards. They just didn't get in the end zone as many times as they wanted to. But then you see they converted a lot of third downs. They were very good on third downs. 9 of 17, 53%. That's very good. And then on the drive where the 49ers take the lead for the first time in the game, there was a big third down completion to Juwan Jennings. And on a third and 10, a big third down completion to Brandon Ayuk, 24 yards. So you're right. It's not a potent offense, but it's a complementary offense. It's a spread the ball around offense. It's, as Jimmy Garoppolo talked about, it's like not a big, they're not putting up big fantasy numbers or anything like that. Right now, the game Sunday night against the Chargers, they won it. And a point that Kyle Shanahan made after the game was that these are the kinds of games that the Chargers win. They just kind of turn it into kind of an ugly game.
Yeah.
And usually they're the team offensively that has just enough firepower to win those kinds of games.
Let me put it this way. The majority of teams have, Sunday night the 49ers had 230 yards passing. A normal effective NFL team would have, of those 230, their main guy, their main receiver, over 100, 120, 150. The 49ers have Ayuk, Kittle, Samuel, and to me, the underrated star of Sunday's win was Juwan Jennings. If he doesn't have the big third down conversions the 49ers needed the most on that fourth quarter, maybe that win doesn't happen. They were 9 of 17 third down conversions, and Juwan Jennings had, to me, the two biggest ones of the game. So you're right. They're not going to have the Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams. They could, because they have the power or the potential to do it, but they don't need to rely on a single guy like a couple of weeks ago against the Rams, because now they're fully healthy, Matt.
Yeah, Juwan Jennings, 4 targets, 4 receptions, 40 yards. 4s are wild.
And they were all clutch.
Yeah, and that's kind of his thing, right? Third and Jennings. You know, who are they going to go to? I mean, I think it kind of lends itself to, on third down, are you going to cover McCaffrey out of the backfield? Are you going to cover Kittle over the middle? Are you going to cover Deebo Samuel on the outside? Are you going to cover Brandon Ayuk on the other side? And the one guy who's always going to be in man coverage or singled up will be Juwan Jennings. And he's very good at beating man coverage. So he was Sunday night as the 49ers improve to 5-4. Now they're only a half game out of the division lead. And I really think they're in a good position, because the home stretch really is the home stretch.
It is.
For the 49ers, because 9 games to them are...
Seven.
Well, 6 of them are right here.
Okay, you're right.
7 non-road games.
There you go.
And there should... I mean, the advantage of playing in Mexico City is that they will have the fans on their side.
Absolutely.
And they don't have to play in another team's home stadium. They do have to... They have to deal with some elements, including the elevation and not sleeping in their own bed and all of this. But as far as a true road game, that is not a true road game. The Cardinals give up their home game to play there. So the schedule from that sense really works in the 49ers' favor. And I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, if you could make an argument that, you know, they play the Seattle Seahawks one more time this season, but you could make an argument of their final 9 games, maybe the toughest team they face, the team they faced here, the Chargers.
Yeah, that would be a good assumption. I wonder if the circumstances around the Seahawks game being a Thursday night football with a quick turnaround going up to Seattle, that's a tough one too. But talent-wise, yes, the Chargers are the best team on paper.
Buccaneers and, and the Dolphins. Those would be the teams that you kind of look at too. But obviously they're facing Tom Brady. But Justin Herbert's a superstar, and the 49ers held them down after that first drive where Herbert and the Chargers made it look so easy.
I think he's a good, very good quarterback who has been anointed too soon, because he hasn't played a single playoff game. That's not his fault. That's an organizational issue with the Chargers. I think the ceiling is really high for Herbert. I'm not discounting what he is as a player. But I think there's players out there that have proven more than he has so far. He's proven that he can play hurt, like he did with that rib cartilage injury he had. He's a very good athlete, but I wouldn't put him at the Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar Jackson status just yet. And looking ahead, Matt, I'm thinking about the week ahead for the 49ers. You're going to go on Tuesday to Colorado Springs. You'll be there with Jennifer.
Have to get acclimated to the to the elevation as well.
Yeah, 7,200 feet in Mexico City. I see that game playing out as a run first game for the 49ers, taking advantage of, or taking that 7,200 feet into their advantage, just wasting that Cardinals defense through the ground, because they don't have that run game to counter what the Niners want to bring to the table.
Well, and also we don't know for sure what Arizona quarterback Kyler Murray's status is going to be.
And Zach Ertz is out for that game. That's confirmed.
Yeah, so with Murray, he missed the game Sunday, week 10, against the Rams with a hamstring. So even if he comes back, he might not be the same jitterbug as he's been. Okay, so you talked about Justin Herbert not being up there among the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo, 19 of 28, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 240 yards passing. He's playing about as well, I think, as the 49ers can hope that he could play, from the sense that he's super efficient, he's taking care of the ball, He's making the right decision. Still, it's not this explosive offense, but that's really not how the 49ers play the game of football. So Garoppolo, I think he's playing the best of his career, and I think he is setting himself up for to be a starting quarterback somewhere in the NFL in the year 2023.
I would agree 100% with that. He has been efficient. He has been more than a game manager. I don't like, because some people seem to attach a demeaning adjective to that phrase, being a game manager. It kind of downplays what it is to be a game manager. To me, Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy who has to navigate what the game presents. And he did that on Sunday, whether it was handing it off 41 times or throwing deep when they were back behind the chains because of a holding penalty and brought them back from a first and 20 to convert that third down with Juwan Jennings. So whatever the game needs, he manages. And that's why I said last week, Maddie, I think he's an elite quarterback in a different way that Mahomes is or Josh Allen is, because he manages the game better than most. What do you think?
Well, I think in even the managing part of the game, he also is really good on those quarterback sneaks.
Oh, you know, 32 for 32.
He scored a touchdown on a quarterback sneak, so he has this feel. And I remember last year, I think it was, asking him, like, what's the secret to executing a really good quarterback sneak? And he's like, I can't tell you, because then...
What's the point?
Yeah, because then the defense would know what I'm keying on and all of that. So, no, I think he's... You know, he's never going to be an all-pro guy. He's never going to lead the league in yards passing or anything like that. He may never be a Pro Bowl quarterback. But for what the 49ers need, for what the 49ers need, he's very good, because this is a team that is still geared around the defense, and it's still geared around the running game. And I think that as the season goes on, the running game will get better and better as those interior offensive linemen continue to figure things out.
Sure.
Because it's like choreographed. It's like a dance routine.
It is.
It's like ballet, where every step has a purpose. And for Jake Brendel at center and the guards, Spencer Burford and Daniel Brunskill splitting some time there. And then on the other side, Aaron Banks. And by the way, did you see Aaron Banks' spike?
Yep.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't know.
No, that wasn't elite.
It like hit the ground and then like
skidded
off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, he's got to work on that. But they also have to work on the running game. And I think as the season goes on, and now that you see the 49ers have two starting running backs, they have two really good top 12 running backs in the league. I don't know, maybe top 15. Elijah Mitchell's really good.
Yeah, I think they're in a conversation to have the best backfield in the league. And it's interesting because you see what Dallas is doing with Pollard and Elliott, what Minnesota is doing with Cook and Madison, same with Cleveland with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. The 49ers are up there. And the same Dolphins with Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson
Jr.
Yeah,
right.
And I want to flip it to the defensive side for a bit, Matt, because the big play on Sunday that everyone talked about, fortunately, had no consequence for the 49ers, was the ejection of Dre Greenlaw. We discussed it on postgame live with Aziz Alshire. We saw what Kyle Shanahan said postgame. There were none of them were in agreement with the decision. What did you see from that?
Okay, so the NFL Senior Vice President of Officiating, Walt Anderson, as part of the pool report, he talked about this, and he said that the officials, so that call to eject him was made in New York after video review. And so what it was the timing of the act made it I almost said fragrant. No, it didn't. it didn't smell. Although a lot of 49er fans felt like it didn't smell good.
Yep.
Flagrant was the word I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
So Walt Anderson said the timing of it, the manner in which the player had an opportunity to make other choices and to make a different decision, all those go into the factoring whether something is flagrant. And then basically he said that the runner was already down, and he was already down by contact, and that played into them taking a look at the actions of the defender, and he felt that that this was a hit on a player that was already down by contact that Dre Greenlaw could have avoided. And he says that that when Herbert was down, the player, Dre Greenlaw, lowered his head and made forcible contact, and said that even if that play had been a tackle or a hit on a running back, it still would have been the same penalty, the same ejection. He said the fact that it was a quarterback had no bearing on that play. So,
do you agree with that? I don't. I don't think they call the same.
I agree.
If that's yes. Austin Eckler, Matt, they don't eject Dre Greenlaw.
I agree with you. I agree with you that part of it. Now, whether it was the right call or not, I don't know. But I agree with that. I don't think that call is made if it's a running back. Here's the other part about this, that he is, Dre Greenlaw, subject to additional discipline.
That's the fourth one.
And that will be reviewed by the league. And there's always the possibility of a suspension.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye on as far as it pertains to Dre Greenlaw. Will he be available for the 49ers in Mexico City? I imagine that decision will be made by the league sooner than later mm-hmm. in the week. But here's a part of this that this is kind of sounds counterintuitive or even a little bit weird for me to say. That play actually might have helped the 49ers from this standpoint, because that was such a big blow to the head. The spotter up top asked that Justin Herbert be removed from mm-hmm. the game for an evaluation. He missed three really big plays at the end of the first half when the Chargers were driving. So with Chase Daniel on the field, the Chargers basically had no chance to get into the end zone, and they end up settling for a field goal. So theoretically, Charger fans are probably going, wow, that play ended up could have costed the Chargers 4 points.
What you just read to me, it sounds so mind-boggling, because when you read it, and if you look at the replay in slow motion, it makes sense. The thing is, that doesn't happen in slow motion. And when Dre Greenlaw is going to tackle a 6'6" 230-pound quarterback who is going towards him, he doesn't know he's going to get tackled from behind.
Yep.
He's looking at the play straight ahead, dead on. He's seeing a massive human being running towards him. And he is trained throughout his entire career, see runner, tackle runner. And if you see the play again, Herbert is running towards him. He is lunging forward to, with his shoulder pad, tackle him. And then Herbert falls, and he does hit him with the helmet. So to judge intent on a play of that magnitude, to me, is just it's thin ice.
Yeah, I don't think it's judging intent. It's helmet to helmet, and that's something that has to be avoided. They're trying to take the head out of the game. Hey, Carlos, thank you so much. This was a big win for the 49ers, 22-16. Looking ahead, we'll bring in Jennifer Lee Chan. We'll talk a little bit more about that play and a lot of other things as it pertains to the 49ers after this word from Big O Tires.
Sales. Big O Sales.
Save $70 to $100 instantly on select tires. Plus, get free basic installation. Plus, zero interest and paid in full within 12 months with the Big O Tires and Service Credit Card. Big O Tires.
Life is uncertain. It's okay to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. CalHope can help. Access CalHope's free and secure mental health resources. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org.
We are back on 49ers Talk. Jennifer Lee Chan now steps in. And so Carlos and I were just talking about the Dre Greenlaw play, ejection from the game. And certainly Kyle Shanahan was a little bit beside himself, did not understand why that was worthy of an ejection. So kind of give me either your feelings or what you heard in the locker room about what some of Dre Greenlaw's teammates had to say about that.
Well, Nick Bosa had kind of a politically correct response to it. He said, you know, things happen so fast on the field. He knows that Dre Greenlaw wasn't trying to hurt anybody, just trying to make a big play. Jimmy Ward, however, had a slightly different take and said, you know, I have no sympathy for any opposing quarterbacks. I was hoping he wouldn't slide and that he would get up and he would feel me.
Oh, okay. Well,
so.
Well, I mean, he's hoping he didn't slide.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And he didn't slide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was going for extra yards, and that was a key juncture right at the end of the first half where the Chargers are moving into scoring position and a possibility of scoring a touchdown there to take some more momentum to build on their lead at halftime. But, yeah, I guess the part of – I just read a lot of the statement from the senior vice president of officiating, Walt Anderson. Basically, his point was that the timing, the manner of the play in which the player, Dre Greenlaw, had an opportunity to make other choices and make other decisions. And the fact that they, upon reviewing it, saw that Justin Herbert's knee was down, they felt like those were the factors that went into not only the unnecessary roughness penalty that was already thrown, but the decision from New York to toss him from the game. But it just does seem, I mean, it is a difficult situation, and I understand the league trying to take the helmet out of the game, the head out of the game, completely understandable. The league will be better because of it. These players' careers will be better because of it. But it really is a difficult ask for Dre Greenlaw coming at 100 miles an hour to see something that, frankly, I didn't even see on replay that Justin Herbert's knee was down.
You can't expect Dre Greenlaw while he's – and he didn't, like, torpedo his head at Justin Herbert either.
It was pretty violent.
It was – he is like that on the field. Dre Greenlaw, he is known. He's been called for unnecessary roughness before. But I don't think it was necessarily him. And it's hard also because when a quarterback is going down, his aim is for the chest. But if the head starts to lower as he's left the ground to tackle him, then the area of his body that he actually tackles is different because Justin Herbert's going lower. If Dre Greenlaw is going higher, it ends up being that their heads and shoulders end up meeting instead of Dre Greenlaw's shoulders to the midsection.
But I mean, what Carlos said was that, you know, the intent wasn't there to go helmet to helmet.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, he went helmet to helmet, and it doesn't matter what the intent is. So anyway, we'll see what the NFL has to say later about Dre Greenlaw and his availability for this. But I thought all in all, this wasn't a pretty game.
No.
But as Kyle Shanahan said, it's also the kind of game that the Chargers are good at. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those games where the 49ers played well enough to win. And I guess they played well enough to win in all three phases of the game. They scored just enough offensively, settled for way too many field goals once again, and then Robbie Gould missed an extra point as well. The defense, after that first drive and after they kept the Chargers out of the end zone on some other plays, the defense really, really played well in the second half.
They did. And it was the prevailing theme of the guys at the podium and in the locker room that, it wasn't pretty, but it was a win. So they don't care how they do it. Like, the offense doesn't
care. They care, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, but Jimmy Garoppolo said it doesn't matter who gets all the carries. It doesn't matter who gets all the tackles. It doesn't matter who gets all the interceptions.
No, they would just want more of all of the above.
Well, yes, but how they do it isn't necessarily as much as a factor as them getting the win.
Yeah, and I think, the defense played really well after that first series. They still can generate more takeaways. And, Talanoa Hufanga clinched the game with the interception, and Charles Omenihu hit Herbert as he was throwing. And then the drive before that where the Chargers took over at the 1 yard line after Wisnowski's punt was down by Sam Womack. They got some good pressure on there. Jordan Willis had a pressure. Nick Bosa had a sack. The defensive backfield played a lot better.
What I'm really impressed with, though, is that the guys that had not played in a while actually played very well. Because a lot of times when guys come back after a hiatus, they have a lot of rust that takes them a little while to get going. Elijah Mitchell had a really good game. Jordan Willis had a really good game. So it was impressive to me that they didn't take, a game or maybe a little bit extra to kind of get back in the swing of things. But they really actually contributed a decent amount to this game.
I guess if there's one thing that really surprised me, if you would say, hey, one of the 49ers running backs had 18 carries for 89 yards and the other had 14 carries for 38 yards and a touchdown, I'm sure I would have flipped them. Because I did not expect Elijah Mitchell to end up having more carries in this game than
Christian
McCaffrey.
I'm saying. Like, I was surprised at him coming back in this first game, that he was as used as much as he was and was as productive as he was.
Yeah, and then McCaffrey also made some plays in the passing game. He was targeted 6 times, caught 4 passes for 39 yards. So, yeah, I mean, it is, there's this balance. Right now, it's still not a great offense. You know, they hit about their average, 22 points. Mm-hmm. They want to get those numbers up. They have to get those numbers up because, you know, there will be games where the 49ers defense might have a game like it did against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And you still want to be in that game. You still want to be able to do what the 49ers did back in 2019, where the defense had its worst game against the Saints, but then Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle and the 49ers offense said, we got you. You know, we got your back here.
Yes.
And so right now, it's not like they don't have that possibility to do that, but we still haven't seen it.
No, and you'd think for all the weapons on the offense that it would be clicking in a much more productive fashion, much quicker. But they've had some struggles.
Yeah, and so now the 49ers, you know, they're strengthened their hold on a playoff spot. And that's got to be probably the most encouraging spot for the 49ers, or the most encouraging thing, is that they've kind of withstood the storm, I think, where they withstood a lot of the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
They withstood the losses to the Bears and the Broncos and the Falcons.
The games that they really should have won.
Yeah, and this probably, this even though the Chargers are a much better team than those teams I just mentioned, this would have kind of fallen into that same category of one that got away that they should have won. But they kind of put their foot down and said, no, we're going to win this one. And they did. And now they're a half game out in the NFC West.
And they've got the Cardinals coming up in Mexico City. The Cardinals are dealing with their own injuries. Kyler Murray didn't play on Sunday night. And Zach Ertz looks like he might not play in Mexico City either.
Yeah. So the 49ers beat the LA Chargers 22-16.
It's still hard to say that, isn't it?
The LA Chargers. Yeah,
yes.
I have to pause every seriously. I have to pause every time I say.
I always
LA want Chargers.
To say San Diego.
Oh, did you hear the mistake I made on our last podcast? I don't know if anyone picked up on it, but I'm so used to saying LA Rams, and in the opening I said the 49ers play on Sunday Night Football against, and I'm thinking, okay, it's the Chargers, but I have to start off with Los Angeles, so I just go the Los Angeles Rams. and I didn't realize I did it until I listened back to the podcast, but for the rest of the podcast I said Chargers. So I actually did know they were playing the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. Hey, we got more to talk about with Jennifer, and we're gonna assign our grades for the 49ers from this game, their victory over the Chargers, and we'll do that right after this
the
word
Chargers from Los Angeles.
The Chargers from Los Angeles, right after this word from our sponsor.
Looking for a bit of adventure this summer? Look no further than a new fuel-efficient Toyota hybrid. As the industry leader, Toyota offers more hybrid models than any other brand, so you can live life to the fullest while getting incredible MPG. Go farther than ever before this season in the most fuel-efficient way possible, and save big at the pump all summer long in a brand new Toyota hybrid. It all starts at Toyota's national sales event. Toyota, let's go places.
Celebrate 9 great years at Graton Resort and Casino. Play to enter Anniversary Clinko Saturdays in November, up to $1 million in prizes. Plus, more ways to win than anywhere else. Tuesdays, turn points into slot play. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, win up to $15,000 in the 9th anniversary slot tournaments. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
Fit8 Energy plus Sports Recovery. the energy drinks for athletes. The number one workout recovery blend in America is now available with 200 milligrams of clean caffeine. Fit Aid Energy is naturally sweetened with only 15 calories, no sucralose, no aspartame, and no compromises. This naturally sweetened clean energy plus sports recovery blend is now available in 4 electric flavors. Visit FitAidEnergy.com for exclusive savings. And November is Headstrong Month, and this initiative is sponsored by Cal Hope with NBC Sports Bay Area. And the Cal Hope Together for Wellness website has easy-to-navigate wellness tools, including ones that educate and provide stress management and coping skills. For that information and more, visit calhope.org today. We're back on 49ers Talk, and we have our 49ers overreactions by Toyota. So look for that on Tuesday. I'm just wondering what the overreactions will be. There'll probably be more overreactions of, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo had a good game, threw for 240 yards and was efficient, no touchdown.
He ran into touchdowns.
Yeah, no touchdown passes, no interceptions, but he did run for the touchdown. I think there'll be more overreactions of Garoppolo will be the guy. You know, they need to re-sign him. But as Carlos and I were just talking about, he's putting himself, I think, into a position where if he's healthy when free agency starts, there's got to be some team that signs him to a decent multi-year contract to be their starter, I would think.
I would think. Now, I have a question for you. Is Garoppolo a product of Kyle Shanahan's system because he sets him up in a way with players around him that he can succeed? Could he be as successful with another head coach in another system?
Yes, but it has to be a similar system, I think. I mean, it can't be someone who's just driving the ball down the field. It has to be, but you know, there are so many systems now that are similar to Kyle Shanahan's system. I mean, so many teams now run that style of offense that, yeah, I think he can be. It's what he does well and why Garoppolo is a good fit, but, you know, obviously the team doesn't believe he's the perfect fit. But the reason they think he's a good fit for this system is because he's accurate on the underneath passes. He's got the quick release, so he gets the ball out quickly on those quick hitters. He generally, going back to the accuracy part, he hits guys in stride, which means that guys like Ayuk and Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey, and maybe we'll see some Mitchell and Juszczyk or whoever, all those guys can catch the ball and get those yards after the catch. So that was the one part of Jimmy's game I think that was always kind of underestimated was, you know, people would say, oh, you know, Garoppolo had 300 yards passing, but, you know, so many of those yards came after the catch.
Right.
Well, those count too. And those are part of what makes a quarterback successful.
I did talk to Ray McLeod in the locker room afterwards because my favorite pass of the game was that throw to the sideline deep to Ray McLeod. His longest pass in his NFL career, I think it was 33 yards. He said he was not even supposed to get the ball on that pass and on that play. He was supposed to be on an underneath pass, underneath play, and he just ran. He went out, broke out to the sidelines. He said he looked back quickly and the ball was coming, and he said it was just, it was a dime by Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, that's interesting you say that, because Jimmy Garoppolo said that that was a play that was an example of Ray McLeod being a football player. And so he suggested or intimated that that was kind of a not how it was drawn up kind of play.
And, yeah, it was a broken play.
Yeah, and that's the same terminology that Jimmy used for that touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey against the Rams, where he said it's McCaffrey being a football player. It's like the play was breaking down or things just weren't right, but there's an opening, and it's one of those, like, sandlot balls, you know, like
just
sandlot
backyard
plays.
Backyard football.
Yeah, like, hey, get open, and I'll throw it to you. Only this was like, hey, I'm not throwing it to you. Unless you get open, then I will throw it to you.
But he said it was a perfect pass, hit him right in the chest. I mean, it really was. I mean, I remember us talking when it happened during the game. We're like, oh, that was a nice one.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go through the report card. And it's, you know, let's see what you got here. The one thing, and we talked a little bit about this with Carlos, Kyle Shanahan said that he was proud of the team. I want to play better. I want to blow people out. I want to score every time we get the ball. But those are the types of games that the Chargers are really good at winning. And the Chargers have been very good. You know, they don't, there's not a lot of flash right now with the Chargers either, but they came into this game at 5-3, and now they're 5-4. Same record as the 49ers. Okay, so here we go. The rushing offense. I give the 49ers a B+. They ran the ball 41 times for 157 yards and two touchdowns. Maybe that's worthy of an A, but the only reason I didn't is because, you know, it's 3.8 yards on the ground. And this was a Chargers run defense that had been getting gashed. So the volume of runs were there. The 49ers didn't have really a huge, you know, the 15-yard run from Tebow Samuel. That was their longest run of the game. So it wasn't as explosive as I thought it'd be. So to me, with Mitchell leading the way, B+.
I was expecting more out of the run game as well, just because we talked about it throughout the week, how much they give up on the run with their run defense. And they did give up a lot of yards, but it took 41 carries.
Yeah. Okay, and so then the passing offense. And, again, it was efficient. Garoppolo, 19 for 28, 240 yards, 94.3 passer rating. You know, the big play, the one – well, the biggest play of the game was that play to McLeod, or at least the biggest gainer, I should say. But Ayuk had a big catch on that touchdown drive. Right. Jennings had a couple of them. The one turnover the 49ers committed was off a pass play when Brandon Ayuk fumbled. So I give the passing offense a B.
I say that's fair.
Yeah, and Garoppolo was sacked just one time, so I thought the protection, by and large, held up pretty well against, you know, a very good pass rusher, Cleo Mack, and a Chargers defense that is so-so.
One note on the run game, I think while the Chargers normally give up that much, you also have to look at the fact that those three interior guys, while they've been good at pass protection, they might, you know, they're still learning. They're still young. So opening up the gaps for the running backs, and Elijah Mitchell's great at hitting the hole really fast, but when you have three really experienced guys in the center, I think that can affect the run game as well.
Okay, so running defense, Greenlaw and Warner both had seven tackles. I think the 49ers did a very good job run defense. They seem to do that a lot. Eckler only had 24 yards rushing on six carries. As a whole, the Chargers gained 3.2 yards per carry. So to me, that's an A-.
That's good.
And then passing defense, boy, it got off to a rough start for them. And here's kind of the first question I asked Talanoa Hufanga was, boy, you know, how good was it for you to finish the game the way you did with that interception when you consider how this game started for you with giving up a touchdown? And he was like, yeah, you know, it was basically like clean slate. After that was over, he took full responsibility for that touchdown pass that he gave up 32 yards to DeAndre Carter, former 49er. And so I just thought, you know, with they had two sacks of Herbert, they had one sack of Chase Daniel. I thought the pressure they put on Herbert in the second half was really impressive, and the fact that you can hold that quarterback, that offense, to a shutout, you know,
in the second half,
So to me, that's an A-.
Yeah.
All right, special teams. Robbie Gould made the field goals. He missed the extra point. That Wisnowski play was big, with Womack downing in at the one. B- for special teams.
There was a blocked punt.
Oh, yeah, there was. Yeah. So maybe a C+.
Yeah, and then there was the missed extra point.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I just felt like the Wisnowski punt was, it wasn't the nail in the coffin, but it was darn close because it was going to be extremely difficult based on that situation for the Chargers to move down the field. But no, I think you're right. You're right.
But Sam Womack's play off of with Mitch Wisnowski's punt, that was a spectacular play. Yeah.
Okay, so coaching, I think that D'Amico Ryans made a lot of adjustments, and the main adjustment was he basically didn't change the defense at all in the second half, according to Fred Warner. So they played basically the same defense on base downs and then mixed things up a little bit in nickel situations.
Halftime adjustment was a motivational speech. Yeah. So that's what he did in the locker room in between.
And the 49ers, you know, offensively, it was kind of the same game first half as it was the second half for the offense. The first half they scored 10 points, and in the second half they scored 12 points. So it wasn't like some major, major changes or the offense played too much better. But they did. They came back from a fourth quarter deficit, and we haven't seen that a whole lot in the past. And for the second time in a row, they shut out a team in the second half when they outscored the Rams 21-0, and then they outscored the Chargers here on Sunday night 12-0 in the second half. So I give coaching a B+. B+.
I mean, they it's one of those wins that they had to grind it out.
Yes,
and
they
did. I mean, you got to give it to them for at least that.
And yes, and I do, and that's why I give them overall, I give them a B.
Okay.
I think a B is a nice, solid grade.
Because it wasn't pretty.
No, and they said that this is generally, this is not necessarily the recipe that they like to win games under, right? I mean, they were a little bit outside their comfort zone. The Chargers made it tough on them. The Chargers kind of got them down in the mud a little bit, and all in all, a good win for the 49ers. They're all... Yes. Any win, I think, in the NFL is a good win for whichever team.
A win is a win is a win.
Yes. And so, so we're off to Colorado Springs. We're going to be adjusting to the elevation there to get ready for Mexico City. And it should be a fun environment in Mexico City. I'm looking forward to that trip. But before we get there, Jennifer and I will be in Colorado Springs, and that's where we will have our next episode of 49ers Talk originating from. So until then, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the Rocky Mountain state of Colorado.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/.